Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order. If you please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele. Not here. Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. This takes us to public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is considered. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter, and any clarifying questions will go through the board. Is there any public comment? Please come up. Thank you. Right up the podium.
I thought you were looking over there. Sorry.
Good evening, board, president, vice president, and directors. I'm with the Delta Breeze Broadcasting. We're putting together a local community radio initiative. Back in 2010, President Obama signed a Local Community Radio Act, which enabled groups like ours to start local radios low power to the tune of 100 watts. So it's kind of like a light bulb is what's going to power this thing. We're currently looking at our antenna site is going to be at Freedom High School in Oakley, and it is going to have a coverage area of Oakley, Brentwood, and Discovery Bay, Salt. We'll probably be able to hit parts of Antioch, but it's going to be a complete coverage area of all the three communities. We've done a lot since the beginning of 2013. We obtained our construction permit in February of this year, and we proceeded to grow. We got the antenna site at the Freedom High School. The Liberty Union High School District worked with us and gave us permission to put it up there. It's not there yet, but it will be. We hired a company out of Texas to help us with our engineering prowess. It's called Nexus Broadcasting. We are also members of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. Our original founder, his name is Tony Van Gore. He attended a meeting back in Reston, Virginia, and it covered a lot of the items that were jumping for hoops to figure out how to put this thing together. But we've got a group of about 8 to 10 energetic people that are meeting once a month and putting together grant writing opportunities, fundraising, which we're looking for. We're probably going to need about $85,000 from fundraising, grant money, and all that to get ourselves up and running, and that's going to put the equipment together. We'll probably have to have at least one person that we're going to hire. We're looking for a slew of volunteers as well. The Friends of Oakley have been so gracious enough as to take our license and hold it. We had to have a nonprofit hold it until we could get our 501c3 approved, which it has been submitted. We've met with Jim Frazier, Mary Pipo, Jerry McNerney, both Chambers of Commerce in Brentwood and Oakley, and the City Councils of Brentwood and Oakley. We've been received very well. The Rotary in Brentwood, we met with last week as well and presented to them. The Brentwood Press has done two articles covering what we've been working on and what our intent is, as well as the Contra Costa Times, the Brentwood News section that comes out on Fridays. We are also going to be a part of the Heart of Oakley festivals on the 13th of September. We have a booth there if anybody wants to stop by just for information purposes. If there's any way possible at a later date, we would love to take a little more time than the 3 minutes that's given tonight to present a more detailed description of what we're doing. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have business cards if anybody would like.
Here, the bricks, that'd be great. That's what I said. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? I will close public comment. Any presentation?
Not this evening.
Much. President's report, director's comments. Kevin, anything?
No.
Marianne?
No.
Still?
Nothing.
We are sailing through this. Consent calendar. There's nothing that needs to be pulled. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, public hearing. Consider the following. Adoption of resolution 2014-17, amending the town of Discovery Bay Community Service District Capacity Fee Program.
Before I introduce the item, Mr. President, members of the board, there were two items that came in One letter from the legal counsel of the Hoffman Company that's on your desk this evening, as well as a memo to me from Tom Gaffney with our consultant that came to me this morning. So I will explain those momentarily as I do the presentation. Back in 2012, in October of 2012, the board adopted the capacity fee schedule. First rate increase since 2004. Subsequent to that time, and as a result of projects that are either complete, under design, or are far enough along where we have a better understanding of what the cost of those projects are, as well as the fact that, as you remember, the State Regional Water Quality Control Board is part of our NPDES waste discharge permit, requires us to also construct two fairly large projects as part of that permit process. One of them is a filtration project, and another one is a denitrification project. Those two projects total approximately $10.5 million. And we have 5 years to complete the filtration portion, and then another five to complete the denitrification portion of the project. As a result of those projects, I discussed with Barta Wells, our financial consulting firm in this area, an update of our 2012 report, and that's what's before you now. It was presented to you initially on July the 16th, and Allison Lukovitz from their office came and made that presentation to the board. Tom Gaffney, the principal of the firm, is here this evening. We'll be able to address any questions that the board may have. The fees that were presented at the last board meeting are presented this evening for board consideration and adoption resolution. The recommended change from Mr. Gaffney's memo this morning to me recommends an increase of $100 per EDU moving forward for the filtration and denitrification portion of the project. So moving it from, I believe, 22.20 to 23.20. The reason for that is one of our local developers came in this morning or this afternoon and pulled 80 water and wastewater permits. And as a result, those permits, the fees that we would normally receive from those permits based on the new fee schedule, would have to be borne entirely by existing ratepayers. And so Tom was able to calculate that number and identify what the cost adjustment would be if the board determines that they want to move in that direction. As this is essentially the same presentation, the same information that was presented to you at the last meeting, other than the data and the information contained in Mr. Gaffney's memo today, we are available for questions, address any concerns that the board may have, and Tom can do the same.
All right, well, this time we need to open a public hearing.
Yes.
Right. So, at this time, we'll open a public hearing for adoption of resolution number 2014-17, amending the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District Capacity Fee Program. Are there any comments? Please come up. No, hang on, that's okay.
Okay, I'll make an airplane out of it. Good evening. President Simon, directors of the board. Jim Hildenbrand.
There's
Jim Hildenbrand. I'm with Hoffman Land, and obviously we are the parties that forwarded you this morning or yesterday afternoon to Mr. Howard a letter expressing some of our concerns relative to the current proposal on the fee program that you have that you're before you tonight. So obviously, we think that there needs to be a little more time to discuss a lot of the items that have been addressed in this. Obviously, today we realize now that there's some other items Mr. Howard alluded to right now that we're looking to amend the nitration and filtration program up another $100 because of an event with a builder in the community paying his fees. I'd have to believe it, and I'm sorry for the post, I'm not trying to ignore anybody here. really, truly, we look at this as an opportunity for all of us to get through this process. We're lucky that we're back being able to build homes back in Discovery Bay again. And to look at all the items that you're trying to accomplish with this board, and as far as the facilities that are existing and what needs to be done in the future, we really do believe that there's some of these items, and particularly the filtration nitration program, is something that, you know, is kind of a regional concept that needs to be addressed for all of Discovery Bay. Our position is pretty clear that trying to layer that back onto just the building community is probably a little, probably be a little aggressive. Let's just put it that way at this point. We're really looking to try and get to spend a little time with Mr. Howard, go through this process. Obviously, we've got other issues that are out here as far as for EDUs and what is the number. How's a buy-in program affect us? Obviously, our letter reflects that that's something that, you know, we spent a lot of money historically in the years to get facilities in place. And we just thought it maybe be prudent to take a time out for 30 days or something, go through these issues, see if we can come to resolutions to try and see if there's a program that we can all agree on. And we hope that we can do that with you and with Mr. Howard, and come to a conclusion that's beneficial for the community, ourselves, and the future Discovery Bay. So, at this point, if there's any questions, I'm more than happy to answer if I can.
Good. How long ago was Hoffman Land Development Company made aware that we were doing a rate revision?
Well, according to what we just heard tonight, you started this back in 2012 as a program.
Right, isn't that when you're aware?
That was when we initially got aware of where we stood. And then obviously on July 14th, when this report comes out and we look at this and take time to dissect what's in that report, then obviously we're looking at, well, gee, I think we have some conflicts and we don't want to go there.
Here's my point. Why are we just receiving this now?
Very candidly, by the time we spend time looking at this, we get on board, we discuss it, we make decisions internally, what we think necessary to be addressed. Obviously, I apologize that it's last minute. I would have loved to have it on the 15th for you, July. But unfortunately, that's where we are.
Is this the first rate analysis Hoffman Company's been through?
In Discovery Bay or someplace else?
Discovery Bay.
As you know, we've been here a long time.
Thanks.
You know that.
Thank you.
You bet. My pleasure.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Maria?
No, thank you.
I'm not leaving, so if something pops up, let me know.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other public comment? So at this point, we close public comment? All right, if there's no other public comment, at this time we will close public comment.
Just a technical point of order. We're closing the public hearing.
I'm in a public hearing, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I said public
comment. Mr. President, members of the board, for historical purposes, for those that were not on the board and were not involved in the process at the time, back in 2012 when we did the initial study, and remember this is an update of that initial study, when we did that initial study, we engaged the Hoffman Company as well as the developers of Pantages and Newport Point. As a matter of fact, we held one of the meetings, about a 3 or 4 hour meeting, in Mr. Lennon's office at the Hoffman office's headquarters in Walnut Creek, Concord. Thank you. Prior to this item coming to the board, I gave Pantages, Newport Point, the Hoffman Company, as well as Kuiper Homes, advanced warning and advanced knowledge that this was going to be coming before this board. They didn't get much more advanced notice than you got because of the fact that it was still not completed, but they did get an advanced notice that this was going to be coming before the board, and that was probably in the late part of the second week of July. So the meeting's on the 16th, it probably would have been on the Thursday before the agenda went out. I don't remember the exact day. So that took place at that point in time. Back in 2012, when this item came through, and it's well documented by the record. The Hoffman Company at that point in time acknowledged that they weighed in and participated in the process. In fact, it was their request that we did so, and we did accommodate that. So I just want the board to know that that did take place, and that the development community did receive advance knowledge and advance warning that this was coming forward. And I believe that Mr. Amaral from the Hoffman Company was at the meeting on the 16th as well. So with that, I just wanted to give that information to the board.
Any other comments?
From us?
Yeah,
yeah, I do. Sorry. I just, although the letter gives the, I have the same issue with the letter as you have with the proposal. I just got it and just have rarely been able to read through it here because it just appeared at my desk tonight. But a lot of it is stuff that is not necessarily related to the hearing, and so that doesn't need to be addressed. The one concern that I see that does, if it is affected by the rate or the connection fee increase, is the same comment that was made by Mr. Armstrong at the last meeting we had. And since that meeting, because I had heard what the concerns, I'd actually scheduled a meeting with Bartles and Wells, and we had quite an extensive conversation over a couple hours about how those rates were brought about. And I'm not sure that I still am fully comfortable with that, but I do understand the process that was gone through to come about, for those fees to come about. And I don't see any benefit at this point in reviewing that. I had a couple hour meeting, and some of the thought process behind it, and you know, I have to defer to consultants that are there, but my concern was the fairness of it. Well, why were we using two different percentages for two different products? But I think in the grand scheme, I just wanna say that I'm not completely comfortable with it, but I think that we need to move forward as written. Just because it's because the math works out that way, I guess. So that was just my only comment.
But before you go forward, I just wanted, you reminded me about Pantages. I did get an email from Mark Armstrong this afternoon. I did talk to him today, and he his final comment was, I have no further comments on the capacity schedule as presented last time. And I also gave him information on the 80 units and what the, based on the memo from Tom Luby. So I just wanted that for the record, that Mark did have comments on that, and I'll pass it to Carol for the record.
No comments. I think this brings us in line with everybody else in the community surrounding us, and I really don't have a problem with it, to say the truth.
And I would agree with that. The bottom line is we're not out of line with regards to the communities around us, although that's my opinion.
All right, so at this point we need a motion?
Well, I will.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were done. Just beginning?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, I have a question of the consultant. Have you had a chance to review the letter from the Hoffman Company?
I'm sorry.
Mr. President, board members, my name is Tom Gaffney, and I'm a Bartle Wells Associates. And I did look over the letter, and I kind of agree with one of the directors that a lot of this isn't related to the connection fee. It's different elements now. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about exactly how many units Hoffman is entitled to because of whatever part of the investment they made. But we use the information that's supplied by the district believes is correct. And what we're doing now, what we're doing tonight, is when we did our previous connection fee, denitrification and filtration was not on your project list. And so here's an additional $10.5 million. And we didn't lay it all off on development. We split it at a slightly different percentage than some of the other costs. But this one, a number of the projects are 100% expansion, and the district doesn't have to build them if there isn't expansion. And so they're assigned 100% to new development. This project, a $10.5 million project, you have to build it, and you hope development occurs because if it doesn't, you won't get the money. So that was part of our logic on how to do this one. Mr. President, that's exactly what's happening here.
You addressed the fact of my next question, and that was there was a comment made that it appeared to me that the Hoffman Company felt 100% of the filtration and denitrification was being put on there. You addressed that a little bit. Can you give us kind of the percentages?
It was 39% to new development and 61% to existing customers. And that's the weighted average of all of the other projects. Some are 100% to future, and some are 17% to future.
Right, versus the other components.
So if you needed to add a facility just for expansion, then 100% of the cost would be assigned to future. If it was just an increase of something existing, then we assigned 83% current and 17% future. So you add all those up, and the weighted average comes out to 39% to future, and because some of the projects are 100% to future, and then so it comes out 61% to current users and 39% to future users.
That's what we got. All right, thank you.
Anything else? Yeah. No other comments? Marianne? Let's set that call for the motion.
Move staff recommendation, including the $100 increase to the proposed adjustment.
Second.
Point of order, can the record show that the recommendation would include an amendment to the resolution acknowledging that?
Certainly.
Thank you.
We still have a second?
Yes.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Item G. G1, 2014 Community Center Public Event Calendar, revised. Staff?
I want to thank Tom as he walks his head out the door. Thank you, Tom, for coming all the way over tonight.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom was recently appointed to be a member of the which district?
Ross Valley Sanitary District.
Yeah, so he's one of you now.
Tom.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item before you this evening is a update to the public events that take place at the community center this year. There have been a couple of changes that are outlined in the report. Farron Perez is here to address any questions that you may have. Essentially, we canceled the summer concert. We were working with the chamber to put possibly summer concert series in place. That didn't take place. They posted that at the country club. They would like to add Sunday. The Lions Club would like to add a Sunday event to their Oktoberfest, more of a family-oriented event. And they would also like to add the summer concert on September the 13th that was initially going to be at the marina, but due to community development, due to county restrictions, that cannot take place. And so they're looking for an alternative venue. The list of conditions is attached to the report on page 4 of the report, I believe. There is one additional condition that I have discussed with the Lions Club, and they are amenable to it, and that is that any out-of-pocket expenses that the district would incur, for example, any staffing costs or maintenance or cleanup costs, that those would be reimbursed directly by the applicant. And they did not have an issue with that. All three events that are going to be taking place that are part of this, alcohol will be served. And all the permits, ABC permits and health permits, all need to be in place as well. So if the board has any questions regarding any of these events, we'll be certainly more than happy to address them.
Questions?
No.
It appears that our community center is being able to be utilized pretty well, which is great. I don't see a problem amending the events calendar at all. The question I would have, assuming maybe someone else wants to do something in the future, are we pretty well maxed out on our dates, or do we still have flexibility? I'm not looking to add anything personally, or don't know, but.
Yeah,
there's for public events specifically, yes, there's still a lot of flexibility through the fall.
Okay.
So everything on here is listed that we have pre-approved.
Okay, so it's community still can do some other things that they
absolutely
so desire. Thank you.
No, I just think it's great. Nice work, Aaron. Thank you. I think it's great that that we're engaging other, especially the Lions Club, and continue to work side by side with them and continue to create value at the community center and continue to bring people in. And I think it's great. Thanks.
I would agree.
Thank you, Aaron.
I've got nothing but positive feedback for them. Everybody's going there is liking it, so the more we can put there, the better. Any public comment? All right, so you need. We need a motion.
So moved, staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item 2, proposed ordinance number 25, establishing emergency drought regulations. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item is before you at the last meeting. This is a result of the regulations that were adopted by the State Water Resources Control Board on July the 15th, initially supposed to go into effect on August 1st. The Office of Administrative Law made those regulations go into effect on July the 29th, a few days ahead of time. So they are effective as of July 29th. The proposed ordinance tracks primarily with what the state is requiring us to do, all Californians to do, which are identified in the bullets of the agenda report. The application of water, potable water to outdoor landscapes that causes runoff is prohibited. You must use a hose if you're going to wash a motor vehicle. You can't hose down driveways or sidewalks, and you can't use potable water in a fountain decorative water feature except where that's part of a recirculating water system. The only other difference that we did is we limited outdoor irrigation at their recommendation to no more than 2 times per week. We discussed that at the last meeting. And the ordinance indicates that there are, if you're an odd number address, you get 2 days. If you're an even number address, you get 2 days. And at the recommendation of Director Wiesen, we added a item number C to that, so that depending on, there's a lot of parks, and there's a lot of community open space areas that require more than 2 days per week to irrigate. For example, you may see Cornell Park being irrigated 5 days a week, but each valve station can only be twice per week. So those resolve the HOA issues. I know that there are some in the lakes and lakeshore as well as that we have, and addresses those as well. It also provides for violations if there were, depending on if a resident is issued a notice of violation, beginning with $25, a $50, and a $100 fine, if it's outlined in the ordinance, in the proposed ordinance. If adopted, the ordinance will come back to you at the next meeting
September 3rd,
the next meeting, and it would become effective 30 days after that adoption. So this is still in that review stage. But we are asking the board to set September 3rd for the adoption of the ordinance itself. If the board has any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer it. I did want to make a note at the last meeting. Director Graves noted that a question about the $10,000 per day fine. I did talk to the state about that, and it is part of the water code, and I noted that as part of water code section 1845. The public agency's non-compliance are subject to a $10,000 per day fine. So I just wanted to get that information, make sure it was accurate. I also talked to the state on a number of other issues. We've been getting a lot of calls from a lot of residents. For example, pressure washing. I'm going to paint my house. The painter needs a pressure wash ahead of time. I want to clean off my dock. There is no, the Office of Administrative Law watered down, if you will, they recommend the rules. Thank you, very clever. Yes, and the restriction is was removed from hard surfaces to just sidewalks and driveways. So that has been, that is part of the recommended language in the ordinance. And again, it attracts, that language tracks exactly with what the state recommendation would be. We do have some materials going out that were print, that were in preparation, and we tried to change them subsequent to this information, and we were unable to do so. You will see some things in that in the new pipeline that comes out next week. While it certainly is helpful, and it was the original recommendations from the State Water Board prior to the Office of Administrative Law getting them, they're similar nonetheless. But if people do call, we will inform them of those changes. And as people have been calling, we will let them know as well.
Excuse me, Mr. President, if I could just interject.
Sure.
Part of the motion will be to waive the first reading this evening. So the motion will be to waive the first reading and then set September 3rd for adoption of the ordinance.
Thank you. The fine amounts, the 25, 50, who set those?
We did. Staff did, working with legal counsel. It's not something that we had. The district, the board, has the ability to fine up to $500 per day per violation if you so choose to do so. It wasn't staff's recommendation that we would use a heavy hand in this. It would be more informational, educational. We want to get people to comply. We really don't want to issue fines because, frankly, it costs more money to issue the fine than we would receive in revenue in return. So it's really an educational program, and it just gives a little bit of teeth for those people who refuse to comply or habitually violate.
I think for me, the first one or two times, yeah, I could see that being a low fine, not the third one. I mean, if you have a person who defies you, and we're facing a $10,000 a day fine ourselves, and telling somebody to just go ahead and defy us, it doesn't matter because it's hard to collect. The first one at 25 or 50 bucks, the second one at 100 is fine. The third one should be 500. If you got a guy that refuses to adhere to the rules, don't let him pay for it.
You're belligerent at that point.
Yeah,
that's what I was
my point.
It's set up as $25 for, and this is if they get a notice of violation. We're, you know, if we see somebody and Virgil or his crew or some of Farron's guys are out in the field and they happen to see someone and they put the door hanger on and say, hey, we track and go back and follow up. And if the response is, great, thank you, didn't know it, we're going to comply, and you know, if they do, that's wonderful. But this is for those people that do not comply, and we have put in $25, $50, and $100 for each successive violation of a notice of violation.
I'm still being too low.
So
you're suggesting 150, 25, 50, 100, then 500?
No.
Hold on a second. Can I ask a question?
Let me hang on one second. The 25 and the 50 is fine. The third time should be 500. I mean, you're telling a person, guys, telling you to your face, I don't care what you do, I'm gonna keep right on watering my driveway. When he pays 500, he'll stop watering his driveway.
My question is that $500 that were authorized by the state, up to $500 that were authorized by the state, is that per resident or is that per infraction or is it a cumulative total or how does that work?
For any additional violation.
So they can be fined. We can in 3 days we could charge somebody $1,500 at the same residence if we wanted to.
$500 per day per violation.
All right. I just want to make sure that we weren't running into a cumulative issue.
That is what the administrative law judge ordered.
But what I don't understand is why are we putting out a $25 fine if it doesn't cover the cost of putting the fine out?
That was my next question.
Why aren't we starting at least where we're able to cover our costs for fining somebody?
It's like almost like a parking ticket. The cost of the parking ticket doesn't cover all the costs of the issuance.
But this is
more of an educational. It's a deterrent.
But you still have to.
This is the board's discretion. The board can.
We're just talking about it.
Choose.
I agree with Kevin. I don't want to be the heavy-handed. That's not the idea of the community. But the community is that the community pitches it together. And if you have somebody who's telling you, I really don't care, I'm going to do what I want anyway, then let him pay for it. If I have to turn my sprinklers off, then he needs to turn his off right along with him. And I think the $25 is nothing.
Well, and let me clarify. I don't have really a problem with the structure other than the fact that
there's nothing in here that says, hey, if we have somebody that says, it's worth it for me once a month to get fined $100 just because I got more money to burn, then there's no function in here to make it that $500 max. That's not part of the equation. And then the other thing is, what's the enforcement process? What's the collection process? Is that addressed in this proposal? I mean, how do we collect those fines from the individual? What's the process for that?
We would. This ordinance is essentially a law, and it gives me, and I can delegate that down, the ability to enforce it, and I can issue an administrative citation.
But how do you collect somebody, it? I understand the issuance part.
Yes,
that's easy.
It would. There's a number of processes to do it, and you could. We haven't completely vetted all of them out yet. But worst case scenario, you could put a lien on someone's home for that cost.
Do you have any input on that? Can you explain it any more thoroughly than that?
The procedure to collect would be the procedures that are set forth in the district ordinances for other collections of other fines. And I believe that the process is similar as to what
okay.
Has been outlined.
Any comments?
Yeah, the comment on enforcement is kind of a little tough. I know we want to be resident friendly, and I wouldn't want some of our employees or general manager to be confronted. How do we get the process? Are we going to bang on somebody's door? Are we going to leave it in the mailbox? What do you think?
It would be a letter. If we get to the point where someone is blatantly being non-compliant, and we would issue a notice of violation. It would be a letter notice that we receive it at their home with whatever the fine is, whatever the accumulated fine is or fines.
Registered letter or something, yeah. So you know they got it. How on the first one, the friendly notice, would that just be a door hanger or something?
We have a door hanger, a letter. Notice of violation would be the last step,
right.
We would go. It's like getting a warning from a police officer. You get a warning the first time.
So if I envision this properly, we'll have some of our employees that are traveling around, if they happen to notice, see somebody's sprinkler system's running way too long, they just stop, go up, just put it on the door hanger and move on.
We have a door hanger and it has a NCR tear off, so the door hanger is has a backup, a copy, if you will. And that copy comes back to the office so we can track it.
Oh.
And so we don't just have all these door hangers out and not really knowing what happens to them. We'll know what they are by the address and what the violation was. There's places where you put notes on it, so we'll have the opportunity to do that, track it that way.
Thank you. And while we're on this subject, I'm assuming staff's probably already aware of this, but on Marina Boulevard, when you're going from Willow Lake towards the marina, on the right-hand side, we have some landscaping, and the water is running all over the street there. So we need to, if we're not aware of that one, we should be.
We are. Okay. And in fact, I've got board members who are being gray water cops and reporting to me, and the president called me last week. And with that one on Clipper, it's a line that's been cut through tires. So we address them when we get them, and we have broken sprinklers just like everybody else does.
I know where you're putting why. Of course, I don't, because I live on Marina. But I have another question. We could talk about this forever, I guess. But we live in an environment where we are blessed with the Delta 3s. So you can have your water set to water your lawn, and it can water your lawn today, and tomorrow it can be watering your neighbor's driveway. Discretion, I guess. I don't know. I mean, yes. Like even when I was leaving you a message yesterday, and I was driving by a house, and I go, hey, there's a house right there, and it's water all over the driveway. I just made the comment to you on the messaging, and then as I thought about that, well, maybe the wind was coming from a different direction, because we, at where we are, we try to set our sprinklers so they stay within, but you can't help the wind. The wind blows the water wherever it wants to. So I mean, it's a difficult thing. It's opening up a can of worms for our enforcement.
Well, the timing of it is going to be difficult as well, because we're saying there's going to be restrictions between 1 p.m. and 7 p.m., which helps a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're encouraging people to water in the morning hours, where winds are usually a little bit calmer.
Yeah.
And in the new issue of the pipeline that's coming out next week, Farron has a number of really good tips on how to manage your time clocks, if you will.
I actually believe that the door hangers will be adequate. And the people that I've talked to, the feedback has been very positive. People don't want it. They don't want to be violated by this. And I mean, I think most people are pretty good. They're civic-minded. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. If we hang the door hangers, it becomes an issue. But I would like to change the amount of fines. I think they work too low.
I would like to comment on Harbor Bay Association. I got a letter today from the property managers of Harbor Bay Condominium Complex. And based on the bills that we received, I'd like to remind anonymous at this point.
Sorry.
The bills that we received that have right on there, the use to date compared to last year, we are at 20% lower. That particular homeowner association is at 20% lower consumption based on our numbers, on the city's numbers. So I think there's efforts being made throughout the town already at this point.
Okay, so at this point, is there any public comment?
May I make a comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Marianne, go ahead. One second, I'll be right.
In regard to, you said there's some information that's not correct or needs to be turfed a little bit?
It's in the Outlook, and it was too late to change because it already got into the printer.
But I was over there today, and all of the ones that were printed have to be trashed because they were done wrong, and I was told they're not going to come out for another 2 weeks now. So is there any chance you could make those corrections? Or
they were printed yesterday. They were printed last night.
Okay.
Just to give you a heads up, when the printer printed, you know how we do the flipbook, page one of the out of the pipeline turned to page two. It was page two of the activity guide. They reversed the layout, and they wanted us to send them out, and we rejected them and had them reprinted. We actually, Director Wiesen, made an attempt to make that change yesterday. But the printer had a open slot last night and ran the print last night. So we did try to make that change. And it had to do with watering docks and sidewalks and hard surfaces. And that was the only change that would have been made.
Public comment. Come on up.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is John Kuiper. I'm here with Kuiper Homes. We're a home builder in the Lakes. I'm here today to talk a little bit about the water ordinance and some concerns we have over it and a couple requests that we would like the board to consider. When you're building new homes, you need to use water to pressure wash the driveways and sidewalks so that the new homeowner can move into the home and have a clean, beautiful new home. Obviously, this is prohibited in the new ordinance, so we're asking for an exception to be able to build and pressure wash one time for a half hour just to clean driveways. Additionally, the new lawns that we plant in our community, they need to be watered more than twice a week in order for them to take root and grow, so we're asking that we're allowed to water our lawns for the new homes four times per week for the first 2 weeks, and then we'll cut back to the 2 days per week, which is mandated in the ordinance. So we ask that you consider just those two items and go forward here. Thank you.
John and I discussed this today, and he asked if it would be appropriate to come to the board and have this conversation. I told him absolutely. I did have conversation with the state of California, the Office of Administrative Law staff that worked on this. And pressure washing was not included for homes when you're going to paint them, and I asked about docks. He said, well, it's not a sidewalk or a driveway. This kind of falls in between. I can't say for certain, but I believe that the discretion, there is some discretion that you have so long as you are meeting the compliance letters of the law, if you will, as long as you're meeting our 20%. It's not something that would be able to continue. It's your discretionary call. There are a number of public agencies that are completely prohibiting the installation of new lawns during this time. So it would not be out of the ordinary to prohibit that. But then again, I also understand the concern that Mr. Kuiper has as well. With respect to the, with respect to the lawns, I had that conversation with them as well. And, I already addressed that, I'm sorry. We were going to stay having a lot of changes, not being able to do it.
To me, I mean, it's not that I haven't objected to it, but I would want some kind of a whole harvest from the state. I mean, if they come in down on us for this, we can't say, well, we thought it would be okay. If we can get by it, I mean, I don't really care. If they'll allow it, great.
Let me give them a call. We used to have 2 weeks before this is going to come back in the final form. And if the state comes back and gives a little bit of discretionary leeway, I'll go ahead and make those changes. I don't know that they'll put it in writing. Maybe I can get an email out of them.
That's in writing. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
On the fines, are you recommending 25, 50, 500?
What do you guys think?
Yes.
I think 25, 50, 100 is fine, but I think there should be, somehow address the fact that if it goes beyond that, that the maximum fine will be enforced. Because the way it's written, we don't bring anything over $100. You can't find it more than $100 according to the ordinance.
Per day. But you just said up to $500. The other one you read us was up to $500.
Per day.
It would be. So is it per incident or per day?
It's per day.
So if I water my driveway today on Monday and you catch me today, and I come back and water my driveway again tomorrow, what was that, $50?
That would be $75.
Well, at the end of the day, if you reach the maximum violation threshold, it would be $100 a day.
Then where's the $500?
The board has the discretion, this board here has the discretion to impose fines of up to $500 a day. We're suggesting $25, $50, and $100, but you can certainly go above that, just you cannot exceed $500.
It doesn't say per day in the paragraph.
In the ordinance?
In the ordinance.
Well, it does say for each additional violation. And in order to be completely accurate, it should note that it is per day.
Okay, so hold on.
It should say per day.
It's on section 6.
I see that, but it refers to the conditions of this ordinance. So where is the condition that says it's a daily violation?
It doesn't.
That's what we're referring to, and we will make that change.
Thank you. Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
Okay, so.
I kind of like this language that says something. Continual blatant violations of this ordinance would incur a $500 a day fine. What's the teeth into it? I get the 1, 2, 3 thing, that's fine, but if it goes past that, what are you going to do? Just keep giving them $100? Apparently that didn't make any difference.
Let me work with legal on that and come back with a couple different options at the next meeting.
What you're suggesting is that we have a fourth step, which jumps from 100 to 500.
Yeah.
Add what we have now, add one more step to 500.
Yeah, just take it right to the maximum. If we have to give you three, if we have to give you four violations, we're going right to the maximum.
I have no problem with that either.
That's fine.
And it's lenient enough and kind enough and gentle enough, the 25, 50, and 100.
You got a freebie.
You got a freebie up front.
And a freebie up front. I don't think we're being harsh here.
That's fine. Okay, so I need a motion, but the motion has to be
in a way.
The motion would be at the direction of the board to give staff the authorization to work on the language to add up to the maximum $500 fine for persistent and consistent violators, and also if you'd like to consider the exemptions requested by Kuiper Development or Kuiper Homes.
I would agree with the Kuiper Homes exemption if it's available.
If it's available, yeah. I get that motion.
I would make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Just one comment. And in the direction on language to the staff, you're going to make sure that it does say per day or somehow addresses that part of the language also.
It shows a fourth offense.
Okay.
I wrote it on my notes here, yes.
Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. informational items, we have none. Veolia, Bernie.
Operation-wise, we had several trainings on some of the new equipment that's been installed. Lift station now, operators were trained on electrical panel box at the implant pump station, the new booster pumps at wastewater 2 that feeds the belt presses, some automatic valves that were installed. We had training on that with staff. We submitted, got all the monthly reports in. All the wells are running. We produced 147 million gallons of water out in July, which is down from last year, this same time last year. I think we had like 158 million last year, so we were down from last year. All the back T samples were negative. Wastewater laboratory, still well in our compliance. This was our last, for the old permit, the new permit, took effect August 1st this year, so starting next month's report, we'll be operating off the new permit. No violations. Lift stations, all 15 lift stations are still running very well. On the collection side, met last month with our partners in Richmond. We set up a schedule to start flushing in the month of September. We will go out and get ahead of our CCTV. The camera will be over the 1st of October, and we'll start doing a half of the flushing in October and TV in, and then we'll finish up in March of next year. And once we finish in March, we'll have every sewer line in the town of Discovery Bay will be flushed and TV, so we have a record to start building off of, and then we can start concentrating along the hot spots as we move forward. Maintenance-wise, continued routine maintenance, repairs. The biggest ones that we had, all the old trees and weeds around the lagoons removed, was a mosquito issue, and we got those all cleaned up. We got the dredge up and running now that we have the booster pumps online. We got three belt presses where we start producing more biosolids, try to get those lagoons empty. Work order-wise, we continue to do work orders, catch up. We had less out calls last month, and that's about it. Things are going fairly well.
On the, I don't know, have you taken over lift station F now, or we got our electrical?
They continue to maintain it, but the project is still not complete yet. There's a couple punch list items.
Do we have
one of them? Landscaping still.
That was where I was going. But on the other than landscaping, do we? Have we got the electrical issues resolved?
They are in the works. They're not resolved. PG&E, I think, was out this week.
No, they canceled, and they're probably a good month out.
Okay.
Is there any way we could just complete the landscaping, and because there's just to make that corner look a little nicer after all the headache?
We plan to, because of the drought, you would have to water a little bit more to get the weeds to take. So we plan to just bring in some rocks and some big boulders.
Whatever it takes, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
No
drought
plants.
Some drought tolerant something.
We have to just get a truck.
Get a truck.
Yep.
Okay. We have a bunch of them around.
Got a bunch of trucks. Okay. All right. Well, the sooner the better. Thanks.
Yes, we are.
So we're still on the running one pump at a time routine for the short term?
That's all I need.
Okay.
Yeah, we shouldn't need two pumps less than the pump.
Exactly.
Any questions? Public comment?
Thank you, Bernie.
Thanks, Bernie.
Manager's report, general manager.
I have one. She's smiling over there at me. Poor Carol. Carol is not losing. I mean, that's a horrible thing to say. Carol's sending her youngest off to college. tomorrow, and Ashlyn has been working for us all summer long at the community center, and she came in today and said her sayonara is until she comes home, and we've been consoling Carol all week. So with that, that's, we wish her well and safe journeys down south.
Congratulations.
Don't cry too much, Mom.
Are we crying down there?
No.
No. Okay.
She will be.
Just checking. Congratulations to you. That's it? Rick?
Yes.
That's your homework, Rick?
I can give you more. Just ask questions.
Legal, please.
No reports, sir.
Come on. Okay, committee updates. We have none. Correspondence, nothing sticks out. Any public records requests, Kevin? Anything?
No. That's an interesting question.
No, I'm sorry. Any future agenda? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say. No. I kind of know where the paperwork's kept. I'm brain dead after that. There was something we talked about at the very beginning of the meeting, discussing in a future. Oh, I know what I'd like to do. The gentleman with the radio show,
yes,
a radio program. At some point, it would be nice to have him give a presentation to the district when we have a spot in the agenda that's not going to deter from something else, just so we can find out more. Because I'm curious as to what this is all about and how we can make use of it as a district.
Yeah, he actually called and was, actually we reached out to him to come to the board and give you an update, but it was after the agenda was posted, and so we wanted to make sure that he didn't have a full-on presentation come in and give you the update or public comments. But we will certainly ask him to do that when he's got more information. We have the right timing and the agenda and an agenda for that.
Okay. I'd like to see one item in the future, and that's we talked about the community center this evening, and it's becoming pretty successful. I would just like to become aware of kind of what are our costs to maintain that. I think that we need to know where we stand on that. I understand it's a ongoing expense, but I would like to see something like you have in a business where, like, a profit and loss statement by month, so that we can see our revenues and see what our expenses are, so that the board is fully aware of what it costs us to maintain and run that. So if we could, I don't know if it needs to be an agenda item where we, and I would like to see maybe the last six or 8 months or so we can just get a sense of it.
Well, we have coming to the board our fiscal year end closeout, I believe the second meeting in September. Oh, I do have another thing for the board. The second meeting in September as close out the year end, and we can also give an update on that moving forward. From last year, knowing last year was a short year, the first quarter, the first couple months of this year, and then we can do that as part of our we provide the financials to the board quarterly. So
yeah,
that would be
a separate sheet listing totals. I don't need to see every single expense, but break it down into the categories so we just know where. Thank you.
Yes, I have two things also with the community center. Have we gotten any input on the situation with Hoffman and their commitment to the community center? Has there been any updates on that, and could we get an update on that, where they stand?
We have not had any further meetings with the county. The county went through a change in management. It was extremely, it had been in the process with Hoffman and ourselves from the very beginning, so we're not by any means starting from scratch, because there's still people there that were in the middle of the process, but under the reestablishment of their system, we have not had a meeting with them recently, but that is high on the priority list for the community center committee, and Chris and I will be addressing that very soon.
Okay, and my second one is there any update on the vandalism that happened at the community center as far as the insurance or anything? Remember when the kids started the fire? Has there been any outcome from that?
You know, last time I talked to Deputy Scheffner was probably about 6 weeks ago, and when you're dealing with juveniles, you don't get a lot of information from them. The cost, the actual damage, the damage other than the burned trees that are actually coming back to life and weren't badly damaged or badly injured.
Amazing how resilient they were.
Yeah, there were some windscreens and some canopies that frankly had reached the end of their useful life, and they were just kind of hanging on, and many of those windscreens were shredded, and as part of the capital project, and in fact earlier this evening, the board approved the issuance of the notice of exemption for the tennis court resurfacing project, which includes new windscreens. Now, we did replace one of the canopies between the courts, but that was the extent of it. So, and that was $1,100.
So will those juveniles be taking care of that? I mean, it kind of indicated that in that letter.
You're shaking your head like you don't know, or you
I don't
not
recall that they had indicated they were going to, I just recall that they were apologizing for it, but I will go back and look at the letter. But when I did speak with the deputy, it juvenile court system is a lot different than the adult system.
I thought at the time that we talked about this, we talked about the recourse from their parents. And we were going to get an update on that, and we never did.
I don't know who all the violators are. I can't get that information. I only have one.
We know the one that wrote the letter, but that's it. We don't.
That's it.
There's one.
And there's rumors that that's the only one that I know.
I'd like to make a comment. We talked a little bit about the community center update, and Kevin just mentioned about the discussions with the Hoffman Company and the county and all that, and being representative is still here. He'd like to get some further resolution on EDUs. I know the two are different, but the company that's involved is the same. I don't know if there's a way to kind of get some of these things together, get a discussion on the community center buy-in and have a discussion on EDUs and all those kind of things and just set this down. I'm with you. I'd like to resolve all these things. I think the Hoffman Company has been great for the community. I think the communications are a little clumpy, so if we could solve those issues, and I think this is a perfect opportunity, the well that you would like to have that discussion, have the EDUs, have the thing, and if we can't do it, we can't do it. But
this discussion we can't be having right at the moment either.
Okay.
It's a great
idea.
But we heard you.
Sorry for going over the line.
I went a little bit over, closest to the hole. Any other items?
Yes, I did have one more.
Go ahead.
And I apologize for not covering it earlier. On October the 1st, I believe, a board meeting date. Two board members and myself will be out of town, possibly a third board member. What is the board's preference on that?
Bypass that, we'll go to the next one.
Okay.
That agenda item.
We'll do that.
If there's nothing.
And which is it, move it or cancel
well,
it?
Right.
Two different suggestions.
I am in favor of just canceling it if there isn't some pressing issue that we really have to have. Just push it. If it doesn't,
if there's a pressing issue, we will bring it to you.
All right.
We will have a special meeting.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
The only reason I say that is because I know November we meet.
Those members. Now I'm getting the gist of it.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm with you. I follow.
Let staff work on it. We are adjourned. Thank you.
I'm with you.